It's a wonderful truth that we know that there is a living Christ. Could not help but just sit there today and think about it'll be now 12 years. 12 years I had ago, I had a massive heart attack in the hospital. I knew I was having a heart attack when I woke up in my home about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'd had a massive heart attack before. And so I told my wife, I said, we've got to get to the hospital. I said, I am having a heart attack. And we got to Northeast Georgia Hospital. Had been in there about 10 minutes. They had looked at me and walked out of the room. There was no heart specialist present at the hospital at that time. They began to make calls. And with my wife, the only one standing by my bed, that heart attack hit me, and I almost came off the table. My eyes opened and froze, and in a moment's time, I knew that I was out of this world. I had left my body, and I knew exactly. I felt a ripping and a tearing within myself, my whatever. And there was no pause in my existence. I knew that I had left my body, and I was dead as far as my body was concerned. But I was not dead concerning who I was. And I was alive, but separated from my body. And at that time, my boys were young. I had four boys here. They were very young. Anyway, I did the only thing I knew to do, and I prayed and cried to God to help me. I said, please, Lord, my sons and my wife and our church, please don't take me now. And my wife told me the story a few days after it was all over with, but they began to, I came running in there, thought maybe I had did I have seizures or whatever. And then they began to shock me over and over and over again. And suddenly I was back in my body again. God gave me a personal resurrection. And so I know that life is eternal. There's a part of us that will never die. We had two dear people connected with this church this week that passed into eternity. And hallelujah, we're gonna live forever somewhere. And the reason that we can live in happiness and joy and salvation is because of a man, Christ Jesus, that allowed himself to be hung on a cross, shed his blood, and was buried, and in 3 days he rose again. With everybody around him that hated him and did not want to hear any news of him being risen, they were against him, but he was in control, and he is a resurrected Christ today, and I thank the Lord for that. Wish the Lord would help me to preach like I've never preached today. I want to read from Matthew chapter 27 and verse 62. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last era would be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch. A watch during this time was 60 soldiers. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way. This is kind of an interesting next statement. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So here it is. They have sealed the massive stone that was rolled up to the mouth of the sepulcher. They have sealed it as best they could. And we got 60 soldiers that are there as a watch. Chapter 28 and verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake. And the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat up on it. That sounds pretty defined, don't it? His countenance was like the lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Kind of reminds you of the time when he was in the garden and they came to take him and interrogate him, and they asked about the Christ, where he was at, and Jesus turned and said, I am he. And in just those words, they fell back as if they were dead. Verse 11 of this chapter. Now when they had gone, or they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. This is talking about the watch that had been left there. Came and told them all that had been done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money. One translation says much money unto the soldiers, saying, say you his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. That's the story we want you to tell everybody. We're going to pay you well for it. And if this come to the governor's ear, in other words, if the governor hears about you being asleep and not guarding this place, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. We're reporting it again today. Hallelujah. There's a lot of great sermons that have been preached in this, from this Bible. There's a lot of great Bible sermons. Things in the Old Testament that the prophets preached. The Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. But I want to talk about the greatest sermon that was never preached. The greatest sermon that was never preached. God, help us today, Lord. Speak to us today, God. Let every person in this building leave this place with the witness that Jesus is alive. Those that are in doubt today, I pray, God, that doubt would be rebuked from this house. How we all need to know that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. And that because there is a risen Christ, we can rise again. I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak, touch us today. In the name of the Lord, we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. I do want to say this very quickly. We're going to have a wonderful gathering and picnic at Bogan Park. It's already been said. But I would love to see every one of you come and fellowship with us. It's a special, special time for our church. A lot of sitting around talking and eating and ball playing and different things. But it's a part of joining yourself with the church. So many of the times that Jesus preached, there was the sermon and the sandwich. He preached to them, and then he was moved by their hunger, and he fed them. And there's something that happens when people get close enough to eat together and to fellowship together. And it would make my day if you would be in our get-together as soon as this service is over. Of course, the greatest and most wonderful thing is being in his house today, and we thank God for that privilege. I read in your hearing this morning one of the most fantastic, fascinating portions of Scripture in all the Bible. I also read of soldiers who witnessed something that no one else had ever witnessed before. They happened to be on location. Pilate had sent them there and said, "Make it as sure as you can." And so they were on location at the physical resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They were there when the earthquake took place. They were there and they witnessed this terrible, powerful earthquake. They were there when the angel of the Lord, clothed in lightning, descended down out of heaven. They were there when they had to witness the seal being broken. And all of a sudden, a huge angel appears and begins to roll the great stone away from the mouth of the sepulcher. These men were eyewitnesses of, I would say, probably the greatest event in all of history. They were there and they witnessed something that all of the 12 apostles would never witness. It was something that nobody else witnessed. But these men were there as the earth trembled and the angel descended and the seal was broken and the great stone was rolled away. What an opportunity to tell the rest of the world, we were there, we saw it. There's got to be a real Christ. He has risen from the dead. But the Bible lets us know that they received great pressure from the priests, the religious leaders. They took them aside. And as these men had told them what had happened, and no doubt they probably thought, surely somebody's going to be excited about this. It was just the opposite. These men were so possessed with hatred and wanting to destroy this Christ. Hallelujah. They talked to them and pressured them and offered them a great sum of money if they would not tell the real story. They were convinced because of the money and other reasons to sell out. This great opportunity to witness, this great opportunity to preach a great sermon was never taken advantage of, and that they missed this great opportunity. The eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to just say this today. Jesus is still alive, and he is still the resurrection. Hallelujah. As it was said earlier today, the resurrection is more than just a day. The resurrection is a person. Hallelujah. He is not restricted to just a certain time. It doesn't have to be a certain time of each year. Hallelujah. But he is literally the resurrection. And I feel his power in this building today. And it's possible for us in the midst of this resurrection power to come dead and leave dead. It is easy for us, if we're not careful, with all the crowd and everybody around us, for us to become distracted and for us to be satisfied just to hear a sermon and not experience what that sermon is all about. I want to tell you, there's nothing dead about this apostolic Pentecostal church this morning.
Hallelujah. If you're here today and you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, you've got the earnest of the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the resurrection. Hallelujah. On this Easter Sunday, hallelujah, we hear a message that declares, hallelujah, what our hope is all about in eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 4, Paul wrote and said, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and our faith is also vain. Hallelujah. But I'm glad that it's not a message that is dead and lifeless. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is alive, and Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. Hallelujah. All this church going and all this shouting that us Pentecostals do and talking in tongues and all that happens when we have church. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, it would be in vain if there was not a living Christ. How many feels the presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today? Hallelujah. How many of you realize that there has been a resurrection, and there is a resurrection, and he is going to continue to be the resurrection? Hallelujah. In this text, the priests had put Jesus Christ to death, and but there was something that was bothering them. There was something that was really making them uneasy. Jesus had a way of making these religious people very uneasy. And they remembered, in fact, they went to Pilate and they confessed that they remembered that this man Jesus, and they didn't call him Jesus, but they called him something else that wasn't very appropriate. And he was a dishonest man. He's a liar. And so he told us that in 3 days he would rise again. Hallelujah. He's going to rise again. He's going to rise again. Hallelujah. What in the world would cause them to be so uneasy? What in the world would cause them to be so uncomfortable? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of an empty tomb. Hallelujah. Here the priest had put Jesus to death. And they were worried about him rising again the third day. All the things that he had said, hallelujah, had come to pass. It had a way of when he said something, it was true and it happened. And so they wanted so much for their ideals of life to be right, these priests. And they wanted so much, hallelujah, that every precaution could be taken to make sure that Jesus does not come out of that grave. And they said, you know, if you get him out, you know, he's dead, and you get him out and you go hide his body, it'll make it worse than it's ever been. Hallelujah. And so they wanted to do something to secure it as much as they could. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, when Jesus Christ gets ready to do something, he always does it. And they had seen Jesus do so many things. They saw Jesus open up the blinded eyes. Hallelujah. Even one time there was a blind man that came, and it wasn't just blinded eyes. It was no eyes. It was empty eye sockets as he cried out, have mercy on me. And the crowd watched him as he spit on the ground and made a couple of little mud balls and formed them carefully in his hands and stuck them into the empty eye sockets of this blind man and prayed for him. Hallelujah. And when he lifted up his face and they saw him, there was two brand new eyeballs that Jesus Christ had just created. Hallelujah. He had unstopped deaf ears. He had made the lame to walk. Hallelujah. He had done some things that really made them uncomfortable, especially when a man by the name of Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus comes to the tomb and says, roll the stone away. And Martha said, oh no, he stinketh by now. No, it's not too late yet, Martha. I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. All of a sudden they roll the stone away, and I can see everybody standing there, and no doubt they felt they were the defiance of the black mouth of a tomb. How could anybody be raised from the dead? Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ lifted his voice that afternoon and said, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. Somebody might have said, why did they say Lazarus? Because if they'd have just said, come forth, everything in the cemetery would have come out of the grave. But the Bible says that he spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, no doubt, there was a sound of a rustling of grave clothes. And all of a sudden, out of the mouth, the black, dark mouth of that grave, stepped the man that had been in the regions of death for days. Don't you think seeing all that and hearing about all that, it make you a little nervous? Is he really dead this time? Hallelujah. I want to tell you, you can live the way you want to live. Hallelujah. You can act like Jesus was never born. You can live like he never died. You can live like he never rose again. But I want to tell you, if he says he's going to do something, he'll do it. Hallelujah. Jesus had prophesied and promised in John 2:19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. It was predestined. It was determined that Jesus was going to come out of that tomb, and no one or no thing could stop him. Hallelujah. But you know, some people, they rather admit they're wrong. And that God's right. Some would rather than admit that they're wrong and that God's right. They argue and they do everything they can to cover the truth. It's a dangerous thing when we see truth and we reject it. It's a dangerous thing when we feel the impact and the influence of the resurrection. And yet we do not experience it in our own life. So I want to show you in this message the unbelievable lie that these men told, and the unbelievable lie that so many people are expected to believe. They're expected to believe. Can you believe that 60 soldiers, hallelujah, would be sitting there watching a dead man's tomb? Hallelujah. Pilate had granted the request and told them, go and make it as sure as you can. But you see, this man by the name of Pilate, he had already been through some experiences with Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus had been brought to Pilate, and they were crying out for him to be crucified. We want him dead. We want him crucified. And Pilate brings Jesus in and begins to ask him questions and begins to try to find out what this is all about. Hallelujah. By the time it's over with, Pilate recognizes that Jesus is not an ordinary man. Pilate was the governor of the land. He was a man that his job and occupation on a daily basis was to judge and to question. He had an intuitive talent about him that he could, he had a way of seeing if people were lying or telling the truth. And as he begins to examine Jesus, it couldn't have been very long. It was just the first little setting that they were introduced. There was people crying for his blood, Jesus's blood. And so Pilate brings him in to inquire about him. It couldn't have been very long. What, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? But just being in the presence of the Lord for just a short time of questioning had so touched the heart of Pilate and had made his mind swim, no doubt. Hallelujah, is that he realized this man is not an ordinary man here today. I recognize there's something about him that is different. I believe before the questioning was over with, hallelujah, Pilate felt more like just the common man, hallelujah, and that he felt like Jesus was king. There were statements that Pilate made. Pilate told the crowd that was screaming that day, I find in him no fault at all. That's quite a statement to make. You know, the best of men that are here today, we have faults, we have failures, we have weaknesses. But here Pilate says, this is a man. First of all, three different times he said, I find in him, you know, he's not guilty of that you have accused him of. Three different times he said, he's not guilty of these things. And then finally it says, not only that, I find in him no fault at all. And before the session was over, Pilate is saying, behold your king. Behold your king. Has it written on the top of the cross? Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. No wonder Pilate would say, when he was questioned by the religious leaders about getting soldiers there to make sure, they wanted to make sure that this guy don't get away. He said, make it as sure as you can. I just got to believe that he was thinking, do what you can, but I don't know if it's going to be good enough. I just don't know. And so the priests went and they sealed the tomb. Can you imagine them? They've got this massive stone that they've rolled up to the mouth of this sepulcher. And that's not enough. The weight of that stone, They go and they start plastering and they start trying to seal, put a seal on the door. How in the world can you go so far with just one dead man in a tomb? Hallelujah. But it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, a watch, they claim that a watch in Bible days, at least that time, was from 6 to 9 and then 9 to 12, 12 to 3 and 3 to 6. This was for a whole night. It would be four different shifts of 60 soldiers. 60 soldiers. Hallelujah. You know the story in the early Easter morning. Hallelujah. The Bible says, behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended into from heaven and came. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, when Mary Magdalene and the others came and behold, there was a great earthquake. Hallelujah. The Bible says the stone was rolled away. He sat up on it. His countenance was as lightning and his raiment as white as snow. The soldiers fell over as dead men. I want to tell you, the resurrection is a powerful thing. But the soldiers ran into Jerusalem to tell the priests. They probably thought, surely there's somebody that wants to hear this. Maybe there's somebody that's sincere that's going to believe it. But when they got there, as I've already said, when they got there, they were convinced and their arms were twisted. And you're going to tell a lie. You're not going to tell the story of what really happened. It was an unbelievable lie, and that's what I want to get to, and I'm going to be through. There were some things so crazy, absurd. Things about this story that the soldiers told were, they were paid to tell it. It's crazy to think that so many guards could fall asleep at the same time. That was the story that was told. You know, we were all asleep. We just fell asleep. You know, that many guards going to sleep at one time. Have you ever, you know, we have these big campouts sometimes, you know, and it's like the noise hardly ever ends, you know. Always something going on. And then there's people that can't sleep at night. You know, they lay there and they're quiet for the rest of everybody else, but they can't sleep at night. But the story here is that all the guards, I don't know if there were four wards of guards for these different times. If that would be true, then it'd be 60, 120, it'd be 240 soldiers there. Let's just stay with 60. You got 60 soldiers there, and all of them go to sleep. They must have been real sleepy. It was just a three-hour watch, and everybody went to sleep. It's absurd to think that they could have remained asleep while the moving of such things as a big old stone. They were sound sleepers. If they couldn't hear the seals being broken and the stone rolled away and the lightning and the thunder and they sleep through every bit of it. sound sleepers. I want to tell you, all of Jerusalem just about must have ended up believing that. That's kind of as presumptuous as believing in evolution. Give me just one example, please, sir. It's unbelievable that several disciples could get through the guard and break the seal and remove the stone, and the guards are still sleeping. The soldiers said that the disciples took the body of Jesus while they were asleep. The disciples did it. Well, how'd you know the disciples did it? You was asleep. Well, maybe they're just asleep and just looking with one eye. How hard is it to contradict these statements of truth? The soldier's story is contradicted by thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of godly men and women that refuse to be bought off. Are you for sale today? It may not be exactly like what I'm describing right here, but are you for sale? You see Revelation, you know that God's here. You know what you need is here. I have people tell me that all the time, and they leave empty. Oh, I know I need this. I know this is what I need to do. Yeah, you know, and then finally maybe they end up saying, well, one of these days I'm going to do it. Well, I want to tell you, you may not have one of these days when you get ready to do it. Hello, but there's thousands of people throughout the centuries that can testify that it's true, that Jesus rose from the dead. Millions today can testify to the fact that he's alive. People that is here that's been delivered from alcohol and drugs and pornography and immorality and all kinds of hate and jealousy and malice that's in their soul. It's a beautiful thing when godly sorrow comes to our life and we vomit up all that stuff. And repentance is granted to us, and we repent and we confess our sins and ask God to forgive us of our sin. And the Bible says, and then cometh salvation. Oh, I'm glad the power of the resurrection saved me. It delivered me. It set me free. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. The priest came to the soldiers. We're going to buy you off. We got a great sum to give you. Hallelujah. I'm not for sale. I said, I'm not for sale. I'm surprised at how many preachers are for sale. It's a shame to have the Bible calls them dogs that don't know how to bark. That's a good old-fashioned way of saying it, isn't it? Hallelujah. They won't warn when they see something coming against the flock. They're afraid to take a stand on truth. They're afraid to say, he is risen. He is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today that I still believe that there is a resurrection that personally comes to our lives. Hallelujah. 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 I'm glad that old-fashioned repentance works. I want to tell everybody in this building, don't allow repentance, hallelujah, to become an ugly word in your vocabulary. Hallelujah. Don't make it be a word that angers you against the preacher or somebody that reaches out with a saving hand and tries to help you. Hallelujah. For a man to say and to love you enough to say you need to repent of your sins. Confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. I'm not going to sell repentance out this morning. We're an old-fashioned apostolic Pentecostal church. Hallelujah. There's salvation that's found in repentance. Hallelujah. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Hallelujah. I'm not gonna sell out the fact that you gotta be baptized in Jesus' name. I don't have the authority to change the Bible today. Hallelujah. There's only one Bible way to be baptized. I want you to sit up and listen to me. The Bible says there's one Lord. Everybody say one Lord. The Lord, He is God. How many believe that there's one God? One God. Hallelujah. If you'll listen to me and you'll obey it, your life will be changed. There's one Lord. There's one faith. Hallelujah. Paul wrote in Galatians, said, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you to think you started something in the spirit and you can finish it in the flesh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got a God that's able. We got a God that saves to the uttermost. Hallelujah. There's nothing like old-fashioned repentance. There's nothing like taking on the name of Jesus in baptism. Listen very closely. Arise and be baptized, washing your sins away, calling on the name, not names, not titles, not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Arise and be baptized, washing your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. Everybody say Jesus. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want to tell you, you don't need to just be in the church going business. You need to be in the saving business. You need to find out what God requires. It's repentance. And really, you want to repent. Really, deep down inside, you ought to realize, I got things living in me that eats me up. Hatred and jealousy and strife and a lying tongue and immorality. And things that never satisfy me. But I want to tell you, friend, you can repent and you get it all out of you through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of every one. Does everybody knows what every one means, don't you? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. He and Jesus and Mark are not in a confrontation. Hallelujah. Peter had the revelation of what Jesus was saying when he said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. None of those are names. They're titles. They're offices that the mighty God fulfills. Hallelujah. The power is in the name. And then I'm glad it comes to this. Hallelujah. After you repent, you die to sin. That's what repentance is. It's a death. You repent of your sins. I'm going to let this stuff die inside of me. Then you get baptized or buried with him in baptism. Hallelujah. We are buried with him in baptism is what the Bible says. And then there's a resurrection. Hallelujah. The resurrection is when you get the Holy Ghost. That's right. That's absolutely right. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That's what Paul asked. In Acts 19, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Don't get offended. Man, I tell you what, I love everybody in this place. And if you're smart, you'll love me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loves us. Hallelujah. And we can receive, we personally can experience in a measure what Jesus experienced when he rose from the dead. This is the earnest of our inheritance. But I want to tell you, friend, the power, the earthquake, all of that is just things that show us what happens when you get the Holy Ghost. You get a good case of I'm sorry, and you bury all your past, and then the resurrection is the Holy Ghost. And that's really what it's all about today in our personal lives. It's Christ being formed in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. If I can ever hope that I'm going to survive whatever happens when I do die, and it's over with as far as this world's concerned, my hope is going to be in a Christ that died. I love you today. I wish I could say half of what I'm feeling this morning. Jesus loves every one of us. He wants to help us. There's one gospel. That's what the Bible says. Is that right? Paul said one gospel. I marvel that you're so moved from this gospel to another, for there is none other. There's no other gospel. So somebody's right and somebody's wrong, ain't they?
there's a bunch of people wrong, and there's some people that's right. And we need to find out what's right and what's wrong. And so I just want to set it to you plain. You know, if we're not right, somebody's right. Somebody's right. Forever he's going to have a church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But I want to tell you this. I'm going to tell you, in love, we're right. I'm telling you, we're right. You want a Bible study? We'll give you a Bible study. If you got a question, I won't tell you this. There's some mysteries in this Bible. I don't have the answer to everything. But I won't tell you, when it comes to salvation, even a child can understand. You need to get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When you finally get the Holy Ghost and that tongue starts speaking, there's a reason why God chose the tongue, because it's the most unruly thing in our body. Hallelujah. All of us, we can, a lot of times, you know, we can keep from really just getting in a ruckus with somebody, but most of the time people can't keep their mouth shut, can they? But the Holy Ghost takes the tongue and begins to speak. Well, I don't believe that. Well, taste and see. Hallelujah. And we experience our own resurrection. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let's stand today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want some people to help me pray right now. God, we love you. We thank you for dying on the cross. We thank you, Lord, for the burial and the resurrection. Thank you that we were baptized into Jesus Christ. Thank you for it, God. God, I pray that hunger today, God, would have grabbed somebody this morning. I hope, Lord, there's somebody here can't stand staying in the pews. They want to come up and find this experience. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm calling you today to the altar. Why don't you come? Hallelujah. Why don't you come today? Maybe you've never tasted it, but you'll taste it today if you'll come. Maybe a backslider that you're so far away you don't think God loves you anymore. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. Hallelujah, I want you to come. I want you to come home. First Pentecostal Church of Beaufort is some of you folks' home. You need to come home. Hallelujah, before it's too late, you need to come home. I beg you to come home. In the name of the Lord Jesus, 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 in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, we're waiting on you. Don't let anybody else keep you from coming. Why don't we fill the front of this building today? Come on, raise your hands and hallelujah, give it to Jesus this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I believe in Jesus. Oh, Riakaya, let's give God praise. Let's thank Him for the truth. Let's thank Him for the resurrection. Oh, I thank you, God, we have hope. Oh, we're not just going to die and be put in a box, be buried, never to be remembered again. No, 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 no. Hallelujah, death is not a dead-end street, it's a thoroughfare. Hallelujah, death becomes a vehicle, an operation, Lord, to get us out of this world and get us into the eternal world. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I want to be washed in the blood.
Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
I need a cleansing.
Oh, it's Holy Ghost time, Lord.
My soul is hungry.
It's resurrection time, Lord.
My soul is hungry. I've got this. In the blood.
Holy Ghost, speak in Jesus' name.
I
believe you today, God. I believe you today, God. I believe you today, God.
From the mountain.
Oh, I believe you today, God. Come on, brother, ahead. It's so close. It's closer than you never believe.
I want to be.
Oh, I accept it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. It's a gift. Let it go, let it go, let it go. It's like a river. Oh, God, cover me, 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 God, feel me, God. Oh, Shadayala Bakadayala Bahasana. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.